Hello, welcome to Pulling the Music Apart. I'm Dave, I'm joined by Norlia and Russell and our good friend Savas. As our name implies, we're here to delve into and analyse music. On this podcast, we're talking about Michael Jackson. So Savas,
take it away.
Well, I mean, I think what makes Michael Jackson so famous is the fact that he started so young and he's had a career that's pretty much spanned his whole life. And he was from a musical family. And his big break, I think, came when they joined Motown Records as the Jackson 5. And from there, him and his four other brothers pretty much shaped a lot of the pop music and brought the Afro-American image into American households and made it a staple pretty much from the 70s onwards. Over to you, Russell.
Oh, Michael Jackson is probably the best known artist of all time. You look at the body of work. As you mentioned, he got his start with the Jackson 5, his brothers. I think his dad may have been the early producer for the boys. He certainly toured everywhere with them. They were a phenomenon on TV. Sullivan showcased them as a young and up-and-coming act. Michael, obviously, his dominance emerged as the boy with the voice in the band. And moving, fast-forwarding, going into the thriller years, I thought he defined the dance. Mm-hmm. And he was, in terms of pop artists, the best dancer ever. We're talking Cary Grant type quality.
Cary Grant.
Well, I think they compared Michael Jackson more to Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Who's Cary Grant?
It was Fred Astaire, I think.
I think he was influenced greatly by Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
right.
Vice versa. Over to David.
Okay, Michael Jackson's solo career, of course we know, Thriller and everything. I'm not entirely sure. One song, which may have been his first solo song, is one I don't particularly like, but I won't ignore the significance of it. Ben.
Yeah.
That was solo, wasn't it?
Definitely,
it
yeah.
Yeah. But for me, while it's, Thriller is the biggest album of all time, I love the Off the Wall album of 1979.
Yeah.
Mm. I just thought it was silky smooth. It was just so classy and a Quincy Jones production.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think what made Michael Jackson such a superstar was he was an all-rounder. He could sing, dance, act. He could choreograph.
Choreograph, for sure.
Mm. Absolutely. And he wrote his own songs. He was a writer. He was the quintessential musician. Him, Prince, people like that. I think that's what made him into a superstar. But the fact that he could sing and dance so brilliantly put him into the spotlight.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Act. Yeah, the full-length Thriller video, which goes maybe 14 minutes or something.
Correct, yeah.
Crazy like that. Mm. He showed his acting in that one in the cinema, where he says,
"That's right.
I'm not like other boys."
True. And I think his appearance as a child with Diana Ross in the reinterpretation of The Wizard of Oz. He was, it was quite terrible in that too, I thought.
Oh, The Wiz. Was that
The Wiz, that's it, yeah.
Some fine acting there.
Mm. Mm.
Norlia, how about you?
I always had a really soft spot for all of his music growing up in the 80s. It was just, he's literally the king of pop during that time. And I just think that during his, Thriller album, I think he gained a larger audience. I think. He's one of those artists that when people think about moments from the 80s and they go back and they think about learning the Thriller dance and all that kind of stuff. So, he's one of those musicians that falls into that icon. We were talking about that the other day, just icons, how many people are like Michael Jackson now?
Well, could I ask you, Norlia, what album came after Thriller? Was it Bad? I've got no idea.
I think it was Bad, and right. I thought that was a pretty bold move to name it Bad, because after a monster album, usually the next album is not going to be anywhere near as huge, is it?
Right.
But yeah, it was Bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, he had that awesome film clip in the car park, underground car park.
Which had the long introduction like Thriller as well.
Yep.
Yeah,
without the music.
Oh, was that like a gang fight?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
But he came from an era when artists such as Michael, they had killer video clips.
Yeah,
with it, which it helped sell the song too.
Ah, you think of Macaulay? That's so right. Yeah,
was it Macaulay
Culkin in Black on Black or White.
Yeah.
What a great video.
It was funny.
Slash was in it too because he plays guitar on that, did the solo. Yeah.
But that whole era, that was that whole MTV era. So it was like, you know, let's introduce this artist and now let's make this like a mini movie and promote this artist through this form of art.
Doesn't seem to be as important these days, is it?
Mm.
It doesn't.
So which album did Dirty Diana come from?
Isn't that the Smooth Criminal album?
Smooth Criminal?
No, it's not.
It was a song.
1988 from the same album as Man in the Mirror. So from the Bad album, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was from Bad.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That was a great album then.
I hope it wasn't written about Diana Ross, his good friend.
Well, everyone kind of thought it was written about Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of her favourite songs. So then after Bad, what came next?
Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. Wow. And what songs were off that?
It's a question.
Black or White?
Well, it was Black and White, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Black and White. Black or White, right.
Remember the Time?
Yeah. In the Closet. Jam was a great song.
Yeah.
Heal the World.
Dirty Diana was not about any specific person.
Right.
It was about groupies that hung around musicians and, you know, that liked hanging around backstage. So he was just referring to certain types of girls and that would hang around clubs or concerts.
The album after that, now, was it called History or was it called His Story?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think it was a double entendre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And was that a Greatest Hits album or was that did it have originals as well?
It had originals on it. I remember it's not much for good albums, in my opinion.
Right. Well, looking now, You Are Not Alone is a great song. Earth Song's a great song.
Yeah.
They Don't Care About Us. That was a great song.
That was a good song.
Yeah.
The one with Janet Jackson.
Yeah, that's right. Remember the Time. Yeah, that was a great song too. And then the Invincible album. Was that afterwards?
Yeah, it was.
Early.
Here we go, 2001. Here we go. You Rock My World and Cry. I don't know those songs.
No.
Do you know them?
No.
I thought it was tailing his career a little bit there too, by the way.
Was that his final album?
It would have been.
Invincible was his final, 2001.
Do you think he was a troubled boy / man?
It goes without saying, yeah.
Absolutely.
I've read the stories when they were on tour, and they were kids, so literally children, minors. And the father was apparently a hard taskmaster, very strict on them, and apparently they were subjected to things that no child should ever have to see. Mm. So they'd all share the same motel room when they were touring. And dad would pick up a groupie from the audience and, you know, the kids having to watch, you know, dad and the groupie having, you know, relations.
Mm. In the That's same disgusting.
It is. I don't think he was a good quality bloke.
Mm.
No. Mind you, he was very successful in getting them going as a group.
True, in a way, it's very similar if you've seen the film about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, because there was three brothers in that band.
Yep.
And their father was extremely chaotic and strict. And yeah, sure, they got successful, but they all ended up with major, major traumatic issues.
Yeah.
So is it worth it?
Goes a long way above stage
mice. Right.
Same as Whitney Houston. Her dad too.
Yep.
He was in control of her finances and he was pushing her all the time with her, the choices that she made and that sort of thing in her career.
So do you think that they're excelling in spite of the father potentially? Or are they doing it out of fear? We better be good.
A bit of both, yeah. I think. I mean, when you're a child, I think everything that your parents tell you is gospel, isn't it?
True.
But if you're being brought up in that environment where everyone is working, I mean, they had the Jackson 5 working all the time, traveling all the time. I don't think they knew any different. I think it wasn't until much later in life he realized, this isn't actually a normal life.
Mm. But his life wasn't normal because was he trying to potentially reinvent his childhood by having a theme park
if that doesn't scream, I missed out on my childhood, I don't know what else would.
And calling it Neverland?
Yeah.
Seriously? Wow.
And you know, I just think maybe even, that may even be why he's still sort of, he had like a childlike voice too. You know, there was just a lot of things about him that from his past that obviously affected who he was as a human being. You know, the rest.
Well, normally, how do you feel about his relationship with Marie Presley? What was her first name?
Lisa Marie Presley.
Lisa Marie Presley, yeah.
Yeah, well, in her book, she actually spoke quite highly of Michael Jackson.
Right.
That was a short marriage, though.
Mm.
Only a couple of years. Yeah, they had a lot of common. They both grew up with people worshipping them and they did grew up with people hounding them and not leaving them alone, and they couldn't leave their home without somebody watching. You know, I mean, they had so much in common. But yeah, that was short-lived.
And Debbie Rowe, I mean, his children are with her. Was that a rural relationship? Who knows?
I never understood that one.
Right. Or was she only used just to have children?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, that always looked a little bit like a setup to me. I didn't see what the relationship was.
So it goes without saying that Michael Jackson, there's as much controversy about him as there is music. So maybe that's what makes him so fascinating.
Also, just going back to the very beginning, so he was the youngest out of the Jackson 5 or not?
I believe he was.
I think Janet was younger. Or am I? I don't know.
I don't think she was part of the Jackson 5.
Oh, whoops. Yes, the Jackson 5, correct. Yes. I'm thinking the Jackson family.
Yeah. Well, what do you think made him the standout in that Jackson 5? Because they were all presented at the same time. Was it the fact that he was little? What was the appeal to him and not his other siblings?
He's like a little virtuoso, wasn't he? He just stood out from the rest. He had all those moves. He had amazing rhythm as a youngster. And you know, where does that come from?
Mm.
I think you're too young to learn that stuff, really. And that's got to be something that some people would say was, you know, was almost a divine thing. Mm. It's just God-given talent that he had. Definitely had the best voice. No two ways about that. He could hold the note, and he was the cute kid in the band.
Mm.
Girls loved him.
Mm.
And the only other Jackson that really had anything but a career was Jermaine, really.
Jermaine, yeah.
Yeah, had a few songs and... The other guys just disappeared. Randy and so forth disappeared into obscurity.
Yeah. Just obviously, you know, his sister.
She was very famous, yeah.
Amazing career too.
Yeah.
And had some good hits.
Mm.
Well, did they ever work together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two songs.
Yeah.
That Remember the Time and there was
They Don't another, Care About Us.
They Don't Care About Us. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So they helped each other out in their careers.
Yeah. And then there's the forgotten sister, LaToya. Now, she actually had quite a number of successful songs in the United States anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I only remember being on the cover of Playboy.
Was that with the snake?
With the snake.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I saw it in the stand, the newsagent.
I never bought it and opened it up.
Now, she had a successful career on stage herself, didn't she?
LaToya.
A dancer?
Probably.
In clubs?
Well, there's another sister. What was her name? Was it Michelle? The older sister. And she was... a successful singer as well. Rebby, she's the oldest, 1950. Yeah.
Michael Jackson's kids biologically his?
Not really sure. So what they were. I'm sure they are.
I'm just looking at the...
Oh, so he wasn't the youngest. Randy was younger than him. Have a look. Right. Have a look at the date of birth.
Mm. Didn't know.
Randy Jackson is 1961. Michael Jackson born in 1958. So he wasn't the youngest. He was definitely the shortest.
Yeah. Randy looked a lot like Michael.
Marlon, Jermaine.
I know, wouldn't he? Obviously, he just stood out because I thought that he was the youngest.
Mm.
So Randy was in the Jackson 5 or not?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
He was. Okay.
So what's the best song? What do you think? As a group or as a soloist? Have you got a favourite?
I would have to say one of my favourites is Smooth Criminal.
Mm, yep.
And...
which was covered as well.
It was covered. I love the heavy version too.
Yeah.
I thought it was just such a heavy, hard song for Michael Jackson to sing. How about you, Niles?
Oh, there's so many of them. But I always loved Thriller. It's probably my favourite.
I like...
And Rock With You.
Rock With You, that's my favourite. It's got best bass track.
Yeah.
I think of all their songs. And I do love when they call themselves, briefly, they call themselves the Jacksons. Can You Feel It? Was that off the...
Yeah.
Which album was that?
Victory.
Victory.
Yeah.
Yeah. An amazing film clip again. And that is just, that song is, it defines disco.
Right.
It? Great disco track.
Mm.
With all those soulful little licks in it.
And they all got a chance to sing. They jumped in and, you know, put their little flavor to it. How do you guys feel about We Are the World? Because I believe that Michael Jackson was a co-writer on that song.
Certainly was.
Him and Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They wrote
it. Yeah. Quincy Jones
produced it.
Yeah. So the familiar faces have all got that synergy going on because they've all worked together extensively.
Mm.
And that one speaks volumes, doesn't it? That was one of the greatest success stories of a major collaboration of artists. Probably effectively and mostly Lionel Richie and Michael.
Right.
There are other times Michael Jackson collaborated with some pretty big names, like twice I know of with Paul McCartney.
Yep.
The Girl Is Mine and Say, Say, Say. Mm. He teamed up with Mick Jagger as well. Was it State of Shock or something?
Remember that one?
I don't know. Did Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney do Ebony and Ivory?
No, that was Stevie Wonder.
Same, right colours though.
Okay, no, what I'm thinking of was, it was Michael Jackson, but it was the Jacksons with the Jacksons. Mick Jagger.
Yeah, okay.
State of Shock, yeah.
What you're thinking of with Mick Jagger is Dancing in the Streets with David Bowie. Yeah, Mick Jagger, yeah. But believe it or not, Michael Jackson collaborated with Freddie Mercury and they wrote a song together and it was half recorded and Freddie couldn't stand being at the studio because Michael Jackson wanted his llama to be there as well.
Oh, well, that's understandable.
Don't those things spit or something is it alpacas? Like that.
And Freddie just said, look, I can't be here with the llama here.
No.
I'll come back another time. And unfortunately, he never did. And there is a version of it on the internet of them singing their parts together.
Mm. Michael and the llama.
Yeah, the llama replaced Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
And very rarely did Michael Jackson cover songs, but when he did, it just didn't get off the ground. He did a version of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Someone had to go there, didn't they?
Well, he did.
Oh, whoops.
Well, here we go. Seeing that you two guys are
that's
Beatles fanatics, Michael Jackson covered a Beatles song.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
give
guys.
Give us a cryptic on this one, cryptic clue. Oh, Come Together.
Come Together.
Did too.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that one.
He bought the royalties for the song. That's
right.
He did it. Yeah.
He had the royalties for all the Beatles for a long time.
For a long time, correct.
How did he do that?
He just paid lots of money.
So the story was that he did a couple of songs with Paul McCartney, Say, Say, Say. And what was the other one that he did?
The Girl Is Mine.
The Girl Is Mine. And
Ebony and Ivory.
Stevie Wonder. And obviously, at that stage, straight after Thriller, he had a whole lot of money. And Paul McCartney said, you should get into publishing rights. And he goes, yeah, okay, I will. And he bought the Beatles collection. And Paul said to him, I didn't tell you to buy my collection. I said, just buy publishing rights. And he bought the Beatles back catalog. And I believe there's like a 20-year rule or some type of rule. And then Paul McCartney had the right to buy them back afterwards. So now they're back to Paul McCartney or whoever owns them now. So he would have made a lot of money on the publishing rights of those Beatles songs. Mm. That's a story. It was on the Howard Stern show. They interviewed Paul McCartney.
How can he do that though? How can he buy?
Oh, because Paul McCartney didn't own them.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, they were owned by a publishing company.
Mm.
And because when the Beatles signed the contracts, they didn't own the publishing to the songs.
Okay.
Wouldn't have been happy with that.
No.
I think he was allegedly said, so say, say, say.
Oh, well, there you go. Michael Jackson, talented man, had a prick of a father.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it for this episode. If you have any questions or just like to leave a comment, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram at Pulling the Music Apart. Our next episode is almost ready. So stay tuned. It's released. Until then, keep listening to the music and thanks for tuning in.